Well, as I said earlier, once again, it's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. Now, this message came about as I got a text from Marcus this week. And Marcus sent me a text early in the morning. And it said, oh, brother, I just read Isaiah 43, and it was such a blessing. And so I started to read it. And looking at it. And we were texting back and forth and getting pretty excited about what we were seeing in the Scripture. And it was wonderful. If you ever get where you're reading Scripture and you want to send me an email or a text or something that's blessed you, please do. Because sometimes that's where seed thoughts come for sermons and stuff too. And it was wonderful. I was very blessed by the fact that he shared that with me and that we were able to rejoice in what we were reading. So tonight we'll look at Isaiah chapter 43. And as we look at this chapter, as always, I pray the Lord will bless the preaching of his word. Because if he doesn't bless the preaching of the word, then I'm just speaking words. But if the Holy Spirit illuminates the Scripture and teaches us and uses it to strengthen us, well, we'll receive a blessing from the message then. So I pray that he would. And I pray that the redeemed, you who are chosen of God, you who are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, I pray that you'd magnify the Lord and rejoice in the wonderful things that he's done for us. Because he has done wonderful things. He's done amazing things. Things that we can't do on our own. Things that we can't do on our own. So let us remember that this chapter here before us deals with the release of Judah from her Babylonian captivity. But it does, however, present before us the great work of redemption by the Lord Jesus Christ and the certainty of the salvation of those he came to this earth to redeem and those he purchased upon the cross of Calvary with his own precious blood. With his own precious blood. There's a certainty to the salvation of his people because God himself became a man. God himself redeemed his people from their sins. It's marvelous. It's wonderful. So let's look at this chapter. And we'll look at it, the first one, we'll look at the verse here, but we'll look at it in chunks of verses later on. But I'd like to go through these first four verses here. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Notice here, the Lord is the one who created us. It's the Lord who created us. And he is the one who formed us. And then look at the marvelous statement in our text. O Israel, fear not. Fear not. For I have redeemed thee. Now this is speaking of spiritual Israel too. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Mine. The Lord Jesus Christ redeemed those, all those who the Father gave him. He redeemed them. He purchased them. He purchased them. All those who were given to him by the Father. And when did that happen? That happened in eternity, didn't it? It happened in eternity. All those whom the Father gave him in eternity, he has purchased them. Those, and think of this, when it says, I formed thee, who did he purchase? Romans, right, 9:21 says, vessels of honor. He formed us as vessels of honor. Oh, what a great sovereign God. Remember, he can do whatever he pleases, right? Now, the vessels of honor are made out of the same lump as the vessels of dishonor, right? Same lump, but oh, the potter's freedom. The potter can do whatever he pleases with the clay. And he's formed thee, O Israel, speaking of the elect. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. So not only has he redeemed us, but the scripture here says he's called us. And what did he call us out of? He called us out of the darkness that we were in. The darkness of our sins, and he called us into the kingdom of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's called us by name. He's called us by name. When he called Lazarus, that's a picture of him calling one of his lost sheep. Now, what would have happened if he had said, come forth? I remember hearing an old grace preacher say, if he had said, come forth, every grave would have busted right open. But he called Lazarus by name. Lazarus, come forth. And that's a picture of him calling one of his lost sheep who's dead in trespasses and sins. It's marvelous. He called. And he knows us by name. He knows the name of every... Think of this, beloved. He knows the name of every single one of his sheep. Every one. Now we marvel at that because Scripture says that the flock is a number that no man can number. But he knows every single one of his sheep intimately. They're his. He paid for them. He purchased them. He knows them. He knows them. Even though we don't know him until he reveals himself, he knows us. Oh, it's marvelous. It's marvelous. And notice in the last part of this verse, God says of the sheep, thou art mine. This book was written 600 plus years before the death of Christ. He's saying, I have redeemed thee. Oh, our God knows the end from the beginning, doesn't he? He knows it all, beloved. He knows it all. 600 years, plus years before the death of Christ. What great comfort this brings God's people. For not only are we his people now, but we are all his people from eternity. Even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, we were his people. Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing grace, beloved. He says, God says of his people, of his elect, thou art mine. Mine. It's incredible. And think of this. We were his by divine election, right? God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. We are God's. When he says, thou art mine, we are God's by divine purchase too. By divine purchase. The Lord Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, and he purchased his people. So not only are we God's by divine choice, by his choice, but we're God's sheep by divine purchase. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. The Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, purchased us by his own precious blood on Calvary's cross. And this was done, beloved, for all of us in this room. For we who are saved, this was done before we were even born. Ain't it marvelous? And this text here is written 600 plus years. And he says, for I have redeemed thee. Christ is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, beloved. That's which was purposed and planned by God came executed in time. Oh. Look at verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Beloved of God, the Lord will never forsake his people. Never. Never. He watches over them. He protects them. Just as a shepherd does his sheep. And what are we? We're the sheep of God. And the great shepherd watches over us. Always. Always. Oh, it's marvelous. Look at verses 3 and 4. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel. God is a holy God, beloved. He's a righteous God. He's a holy God. The Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sebia for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. He is our God in covenant. And because he's our God in covenant, we his people are dear to him. were precious to him. And Scripture declares that he's given all nations for thee. God's people are precious in his sight. Why? Because he chose us in eternity. And because the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us from our sins. And because God, the Holy Spirit, calls them by his grace. And because we're precious in his sight, he does all this. And the Lord Jesus Christ will one day present all his sheep, all of them, faultless before his throne, with exceeding joy. Did we do anything to deserve this? No. It's by the mercy and grace of God in Christ. Oh, what a God. What a Savior. What a God and what a Savior. God's people are the gift of his love, the purchase of Christ's blood, the subjects of his grace, and therefore, God's people are and must be most precious in his sight. So let us take note. Let us take note, beloved of God, that we have seen God's continued presence with his people in these first four verses. He won't leave his people. He's with them no matter what. He's redeemed them. He's purchased them. He's called them by name. They're his. And let us remember this. It was God who made us. It was God who loved us. It's God who purchased us. And it's God who calls us by his effectual grace. And he will be with us. And he will carry us through whatever afflictions will come in this life. And then he'll take us home to glory. He'll take us home to glory. So let's continue in our next verses, verses 5 to 7. Fear not. Again, he repeats this. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Now think of this, think of these, and I know I hit on this oftentimes, but it just has to be said because of what the environment that we live in, the religious environment. Does this sound like a God who wants to but can't? Unless you let him? No. Look at the verbiage here. I will say to the north, give up. And to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. And again, note in the statement in verse 5, fear not. It was stated in verse 1 also. Fear not, beloved of God. Fear not. Because in Christ, we have acceptance with God. We have acceptance with God. And he will take care of his sheep, as we saw before, because we are his by choice and we are his by purchase. And look in these texts here, we see all the elect of God gathered up in Christ. Look at this. I will say to the north, give up. And to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even every one that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Oh, all the elect gathered up in Christ. And here we have a historic picture of the Jews being gathered up and brought back into Canaan from Babylon and from all the places where they were dispersed. But what a picture. What a picture, beloved, we have of the church of God. His sheep are scattered to the north and to the south and to the east and to the west. And they're actually scattered all through time too, aren't they? All through time. And to all the uttermost parts, but no matter where his chosen ones dwell throughout the world, God will bring them to Christ. And he uses the preaching of the gospel. He will, he shall not fail. He will bring them to Christ in saving faith. And what? Why? It's all for his glory. It's all for his glory. Look in verse 7. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. God's people are created for God's glory, to magnify his glory. I have formed him a vessel of honor. I have made him. So we see in verses 5 to 7, the Lord promises the salvation of all his people. Isaiah 59:20. Turn, if you would, just over there. Just over to Isaiah 59:20. Just a few chapters over. And keep this in mind as we... I'll read the verse again. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep back, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Look at Isaiah 59:20. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, this is Christ, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord, the Redeemer comes to his church. The Redeemer comes to his elect. He draws us. He comes to us. We don't seek him. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh God. But the shepherd seeks out the sheep. And in Matthew 24:31, I'll read this. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. All the elect are gathered in Christ. And then look at verse 7 again in our text. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Even everyone that is called by my name, whoever belongs to the Lord. These are they who call upon Christ, and they who are being called by his grace. They call upon his name. They call upon Christ and him alone. They make a profession of his name. And they serve and worship him and say, like we looked at in our psalm this morning, let God be magnified. Let him be magnified. These spoken of were created for his glory. They were created for his glory and for his honor. To be recipients of his mercy and grace. Now think of that. Did you know that when you were born a little baby into this world? Isn't it amazing? Isn't it incredible? My, he knew. He knew. Oh, my goodness, beloved. Oh, they were created for his glory and his honor and his praise and his mercy, that his mercy and grace might be manifested in the saving of their souls, and that God would be glorified. And that God would be glorified. God's people show forth his grace and mercy toward sinners as he gathers them in from the north and from the south and from the uttermost parts of the earth. And he receives all the glory. All of it. All of it. Let's continue in our text. Verse 8 and 9. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say, it is truth. Here before us in verses 8 and 9, the Lord he tells the idolaters to demonstrate the power of their gods. Well, if the idols were worthy of honor, let them bring forth evidence of the great things they've done. They're silent. They're dumb idols. Oh. Let's continue in verses 10 to 13. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord. What a statement. I am the Lord. And beside me, there is no Savior. only Christ. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am He. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? In verses 10 to 13, the Lord calls upon His chosen, redeemed people as witnesses of His deity, as witnesses of His majesty, as witnesses of His power. Oh, His sovereign power. He's absolutely sovereign. And He demonstrates His sovereign power when He saves the objects of His love. And then what do? We who have been redeemed, what do? Who are the objects of His sovereign love, who are the objects of His mercy, and who are the objects of His grace? We tell others the great things He's done for us. Oh, He saved me. He saved me. I could never save myself. But He did it. He purchased me. He's redeemed me. And it just leaves us in awe. It just leaves us in awe. The people saved by the Lord are His witnesses. And the prophets like Isaiah and the others are His witnesses. We see them all through the Old Testament. And yet, above all, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah's servant, is His witness. Isaiah 55, turn over just a couple chapters over again. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 4. Behold, I have given Him for a witness to the people. Behold, I have given Him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, I have given Him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Now, are you the Lord's witness? Has He bought you out of darkness? Has He bought you out of darkness into His marvelous light? Through the Lord Jesus Christ? While you're a witness for the Lord, does the Holy Ghost witness with your spirit that you're a child of God? Romans chapter 8 says this, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs." If children, then heirs. Heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. This is precious truth for the believer. Precious, precious truth. As none but a self-existing and almighty God could save the soul of a poor sinner. Only God. Only God. That song we sang, "I'm only a sinner, saved by grace." That we sang this morning, so true. Saved by the grace and mercy of God. Lord God, our Savior, is Jehovah. And the believer cries out, "Oh, let God be magnified. Let Him be magnified." Let's continue in our text, verses 14 to 17. "Thus saith the Lord your Redeemer." Now there He is. God Himself. Now that's the self-existent one. The Lord, the self-existent one, Jehovah, your Redeemer. Who purchased us? God. Who was Jesus Christ? God in the flesh. "Thus saith the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." Oh, if we could just get a glimpse of His holiness, of who He really is. Oh my. "The Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King." Your King. Christ is King in the midst of His people. He's King. He's prophet, He's priest, and He's King. "Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as a tow. Here before us in these verses, Isaiah prophesies the destruction of Babylon, the absolute destruction of Babylon, and the deliverance of Israel from captivity. The Lord who brought forth his people from Egypt would also bring them out from the Babylonian bondage. Now, is this not true for us also, who've been delivered from the power of darkness and has been translated into the kingdom of his dear son? Did we not come out of mystery Babylon, which is a picture of false religion? And hath he not translated us again into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin? Yeah. Oh, what a mighty God. What a mighty God. Let's continue in verses 18 to 21. Remember ye not the former things. Consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, and the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. Look at this verse. Look at 21. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. My goodness. Here before us in the last verse, which is verse 21, we have the full answer to why the Lord so favored Israel and why the Lord favors his people, the Israel of God. Why? This people have I formed for myself. For myself. They shall show forth my praise. Let us think on this again. We who are the Israel of God, why has he favored us? Why has he favored us? Why has he favored me over my brothers? Think of that. Why has he favored us over anyone else in this world? Why? Why? This people have I formed for myself. For myself, for God himself saying this. They shall show forth my praise. It's all for his glory, beloved. It's all for his glory. And we who are God's people seek to give him all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. God's people show forth his praise as we praise his name for who he is, for what he's done. For what he's done and who he is. We're poor, needy sinners. Bankrupt. With no hope. And then God makes us willing. And we look to Christ. Oh my. Why do we even look to Christ? Why are we made willing? Huh. This people have I formed for myself. For myself. They shall show forth my praise. If you're saved, this is speaking of you. It's humbling, isn't it? It brings us down into the dust. As old Brother Scott Richardson said, when we see these things, we make our headquarters in the dust. But we praise his name, don't we? We praise his name. Oh, what a holy God. God's people show forth his praise. Christ, who is the head of the church, receives all the glory. God is glorified in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, again, who is God incarnate in the flesh. God incarnate in the flesh. And all the praise goes to the Father, Son, and Spirit in and through our great mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, God gets all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. John 17:1. Our great master says this, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. God in Christ has accomplished salvation. Sister, you and I came out of religion. it's accomplished. Salvation's accomplished. He's done it all. He's accomplished salvation for His people, and it's all for His glory. It's all for His glory. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And as we turn on there, turn to there, let us remember this. Folks have all kinds of warped views on predestination. All kinds of warped views. But let's look at what Scripture says about predestination. We don't want man's opinion. We want to know what God says. And only there will we find the answers in Scriptures. Only there. Look at Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 30. Look at this. And we know that all things work together for good. Now, all things. All things. And we know that all things work together for good. For who? To them that love God. Now, folks like to use that verse and make it universal for everyone. Now, look what it says. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So, this verse is talking about God's elect, God's people. And look at what verse 29 says. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be what? Conformed to the image of His Son. Now, let us keep that in our minds, okay? He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Notice it's all past tense. It's amazing. Christ is already in heaven, and we're already seated in the heavens. The heavenlies with Him. Oh my. So let's keep this in mind, though. Okay. I'm going to read that verse in Isaiah again. Okay. This people have I formed. This people, speaking of Israel, spiritual Israel, right? Or Israel, but spiritual Israel, we know that for sure. This people have I formed for myself, that they shall show forth my praise. Okay. I think this will bless you. I think this will bless you. I hope it does. I hope it does. Let's look again at what Scripture says in Romans 8:29 about predestination. Okay. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of the Son. Now think of this. You who have been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been purchased by His precious blood. Think of this. Why did God justify you? Why did God justify you? By the sacrifice of Christ. Because in eternity, God predestined you to be conformed to the image of His Son. Why did God call you? You who are redeemed. Why did God call you by His effectual, irresistible grace? Why? Because in eternity, God predestinated you to be conformed to the image of His Son. Why did God call you by the Holy Spirit? Why did God call me by the Holy Spirit of God? Because God, in eternity, predestinated you and I to be conformed to the image of His Son. Why did Christ redeem you on Calvary's cross? Because God predestinated you to be conformed to the image of His Son. And He did it in eternity. Why did Christ become a man? Why did He leave the glory and splendors of heaven and become a man? Condescending to become a man. And die upon the cross before the law of God. Live a perfect life as a sinner's substitute and die before the law of God on Calvary's cross to purchase your soul and mine. Why? Why? Because in eternity God predestinated you to be conformed to the image of His Son. Why were you chosen in Christ by God the Father in eternity and given to Christ in the everlasting covenant? Why? Because God in eternity predestinated you to be conformed to the image of His Son. Oh my. My, oh my. And then let's look at verse 21 again. And here's the answer. to why we're predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ. Look at this. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Oh my. I ask, is not our God glorious? Is not our God wonderful? Is not our God merciful? Is not our God full of grace? Oh, beloved of God, you who are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, let us magnify the precious name of Jesus. Let us magnify the name of our Redeemer together. Oh, what mercy. Let's continue to look at our text, verses 22 to 25. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not bought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifice. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. In verses 22 to 25, the sins, or 22 to 24, the sins of the Lord's people are mentioned. But notice in verse 25, these sins God freely pardons in Christ for Christ's sake. What mercy. What grace before us here in verse 25. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sin. The sins mentioned in verses 22 and 24, one would think would have to be met with punishment and correction. And this is how it would be by man's ways or doings, right? Well, our sins were punished. The payment was made, but it was in Christ. God wrought out what we owed in the sacrifice of Christ. The sinless one dying for sinners. And have we not been taught, and can we not see here before us in the Scriptures, that God's ways are not our ways? They're not our ways. Our thoughts are not His thoughts. Truly, as the Apostle said, turn if you would to Romans chapter 5. Truly, as the Apostle said, the Apostle Paul said, where sin aboundeth, grace doth much more abound. And think of this. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. All of them, beloved. For mine own sake. And will not remember thy sins. Look at Romans 5, 18 to 21. Therefore by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. So we fell in Adam. We fell in him. Judgment came upon all men to condemnation. But righteousness comes through and in Jesus Christ our Lord. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Righteous. Sinners. Made righteous. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. And Romans continues, oh, listen to this. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Verse 21 in chapter 5, though, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness into eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, let's go back to that verse and Isaiah 43, verse 25. I just want to read it one more time. What a merciful God. He pardons sin. He pardons iniquity. He passes by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage, all because of the blood of Christ. All because of Christ's shed blood and what He did on Calvary's cross. I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions. For mine own sake, it will not remember thy sins. All our sins, all the sins of all the elect, are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Covered by the blood. He purchased us. He ransomed us by His own precious blood. And let we who believe praise and glorify our great God and King, the Lord Jesus Christ, as He is the one who says, I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. Then will not remember thy sins. Our text continues with the last three verses here. Put in remembrance, let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father has sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary, and have given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to reproaches. Here before us the Lord brings forth the subject of His grace, Israel's unworthiness of it, by pointing out His long-suffering with them because of their sins. May we ponder this evening, that we receive mercy, and we don't get what we deserve. We receive mercy and grace in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And may God be magnified in the preaching of His Word, the preaching of the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Gracious Heavenly Father, oh, we come in awe of how You forgive Your people in the Lord Jesus Christ by the shedding of His precious blood, and that You remember not our sins no more. They're paid for, they're purchased. We're bought and paid for. Our sins have been fully covered, fully paid by the precious blood of Christ. Oh, may we marvel in this week. May we think upon this week as we leave this place. May we rejoice in You, Lord Jesus. We love You and praise You because You first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.